I dedicate this book to my grandson, Colin Ashanti Murphy Johnson. Acknowledgements. Special thanks to a few of the many sister friends whose love encourages me to spell my name W-O-M-A-N. Doris Bullard, Rosa Gee, M.J. Hewitt, Ruth Love, Paul Marshall, Louise Merriweather, Dolly McPherson, Emmeline Rogers, Afua Sutherland, Decca Troyhoft, Francis Williams, A.B. Williamson. The old ark's a-moverin', 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 the old ark's a-moverin' along. That ancient spiritual could have been the theme song of the United States in 1957. We were a-moverin' to, fro, up, down, and often in concentric circles. We created a maze of contradictions. Black and white Americans danced a fancy and often dangerous do-si-do. In our steps forward, abrupt turns, sharp spins, and reverses, we became our own befuddlement. The country hailed Althea Gibson, the rangy tennis player who was the first Black female to win the U.S. women's singles. President Dwight Eisenhower sent U.S. paratroopers to protect Black schoolchildren in Little Rock, Arkansas, and South Carolina Senator Strom Thurmond harangued for 24 hours and 18 minutes to prevent the passage in Congress of the Civil Rights Commission's Voting Rights Bill. Sugar Ray Robinson, everybody's dandy, lost his middleweight title, won it back, then lost it again, all in a matter of months. The year's popular book was Jack Kerouac's On the Road, and its title was an apt description of our national psyche. We were indeed traveling, but no one knew our destination nor our arrival date. I had returned to California from a year-long European tour as premier dancer with Porgy and Bess. I worked months singing in West Coast and Hawaiian nightclubs and saved my money. I took my young son, Guy, and joined the Beatnik Brigade. To my mother's dismay and Guy's great pleasure, we moved across the Golden Gate Bridge and into a houseboat commune in Sausalito, where I went barefoot, wore jeans, and both of us wore rough, dried clothes. Although I took Guy to a San Francisco barber, I allowed my own hair to grow into a wide, unstraightened hedge, which made me look, at a distance, like a tall brown tree whose branches had been clipped. My commune mates, an ichthyologist, a musician, a wife, and an inventor, were white, and had they been political, which they were not, would have occupied a place between the far left and revolution. Strangely, the houseboat offered me respite from racial tensions and gave my son an opportunity to be around whites who did not think of him as too exotic to need correction, nor so common as to be ignored. During our stay in Sausalito, my mother struggled with her maternal instincts. On her monthly visits, dressed in Stone Martin furs, diamonds, and spike heels, which constantly caught between loose floorboards, she forced smiles and held her tongue. Her eyes, however, were frightened for her baby and her baby's baby. She left wads of money under my pillow or gave me checks as she kissed me goodbye. She could have relaxed had she remembered the biblical assurance, fruit does not fall far from the tree. In less than a year, I began to yearn for privacy, wall-to-wall carpets and manicures. Guy was becoming rambunctious and young animal wild. He was taking fewer baths than I thought healthy, and because my friends treated him like a young adult, he was forgetting his place in the scheme of our mother-son relationship. I had to move on. I could go back to singing and make enough money to support myself and my son. I had to trust life, since I was young enough to believe that life loved the person who dared to live it. I packed our bags, said goodbye, and got on the road. Laurel Canyon was the official residential area of Hollywood, just 10 minutes from Schwab's drugstore and 15 minutes from the Sunset Strip. Its most notable feature was its sensuality. Red-roofed, Moorish-style houses nestled seductively among madrona trees. The odor of eucalyptus was layered in the moist air.